Hello, friends. By now you've heard me talk about the new brand of water that looks like tall boys of beer, Liquid Death. This crisp, refreshing mountain spring water from the Alps that comes in still, sparkling, and three unique flavors is by far and away the best brand of water on the market. One of my favorite aspects of Liquid Death is that most water companies use plastic bottles, which is beyond terrible for the environment. Most of the plastic you throw into a recycling bin actually just gets sent to a landfill because it's not profitable to recycle. But aluminum is infinitely recyclable and profitable for recycling facilities, hence why Liquid Death uses aluminum cans. Most importantly, the water tastes great. I can't get enough of the lime sparkling water, and my family has been drinking them nonstop. It's always fun seeing our sons get crazy looks as they are downing tall boys out in public as well. If you haven't tried Liquid Death yet, what are you waiting for? You can get Liquid Death at your local Target, Walmart, or 7-Eleven. Or find a Liquid Death retailer near you using their store locator at liquiddeath.com/packaday. That's liquiddeath.com/packaday.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Steve Peretz, joined as always by Dusty Evely. And again, no Sarah Kelleher, but her bye week has turned into an extended stint on the IR, Dusty. She's dealing with some COVID issues, so finally caught up with her, so we're wishing her well. I'm sure she'll be listening and, you know, tweeting to us when it's all when she's listening tomorrow. But I hope she's doing well. But how you doing, bud?
Doing good, man. Doing good. You know, it's Wednesday, or it's Tuesday when we're recording this. Wednesday when you listen to this, which means it's almost a week removed from that game. That feels like that was 2 years ago. I've already washed the dirt of that game off of me, and I feel like a new man.
I don't know if I have washed it all away because it was just so ugly and bad. And it, but I mean, it is what it is. Like the team's not good right now at all. There's no like, but yet we still have fans that are hopeful because there's a statistical chance of making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Dusty, what do you think? Like, what's your gut feeling on the statistical chance of the Packers making the playoffs?
I mean, I don't think they're going to, because if they do, they would have to. Now you can. There's parallels to what 2016. They got the Eagles coming up, which we're going to talk about. And there's the whole run the table thing. They were 4-6 at that time. The Eagles were the number one pass defense in the league. The Packers were going in on Monday Night Football to Philly and just shredded them. So you can see, like, is this the thing that kicks that off? Do they have it in them? And listen, as long as Aaron Rodgers is there, I know his thumb is all busted up. As long as Aaron Rodgers is there, they can rattle off 6, 7, 10 straight wins. Like, I still firmly believe that. But this team, probably not. There's so many things wrong beyond his thumb, beyond his accuracy. Yeah, I mean, the Dallas game gave me a little false hope. I kind of written off the season before then. Can they make it? Sure, potentially. But right now, the way they're looking, things that have to look wildly different in Philly than what we've seen so far. That even goes to the Dallas game at this point. So I don't feel great about it, but at the same time, if you still have hope, hold on to that hope, man. Just keep holding on.
Yeah, it's that's some glass half full kind of people on that are thinking the Packers. Yeah, you know, if that's what you believe, that's what you believe, and that's okay. I, on the other hand, am well more on your side, glass half empty. Of yeah, there's no way in hell they're making them. Like, it just ain't. I don't care how weak the NFC is. Like, this is not a good football team at the minute, and I don't see anything from the last game that makes me think they're turning this ship around real quick. So yeah, unfortunately, I think that's kind of where we're sitting. But what did you? What were your thoughts? Your takeaways from that ugliness of Tennessee game?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't great. I mean, offensively, and that's the thing, like, you're still these games are still relatively close, and so they were a play or two away from winning. You know, a couple of the plays went different, and Rodgers missed a couple with his thumb, kind of sailed a couple he doesn't normally sail. But also, they gave up, I think their defense gave up 8 of 15 third and fourth down conversions. Like, that's a hard, and some of those were long, so it was not pretty on either side of the ball. The offense kind of, we saw some of the same stuff, glimpses of Christian Watson. I thought his two touchdowns, especially the one on the scramble drill where Rodgers threw it up to him, was tremendous. It was great recognition by him. Watson was like the first one on the line at that point and signaling to snap it because the guys were getting off. So awareness from the rookie there continues to show up in big things. But yeah, I mean, overall it was just ugly, not good. The Rasul Douglas interception was tremendous, like tremendous heady play from Rasul. So this was individual plays, but it's marred with the same inconsistent herky jerky three and outs on offense. And then defense looking sometimes like kind of okay, and then other times just looking like they forget how to play football. So it's more of the same. It's what we've come to expect, or what I've come to expect from this team. And they did it. And we just, you know, they just turned in the Dallas game, and that we were hoping maybe that was a turnaround. They're looking more consistent. Maybe they put this stuff together, and they simply didn't. Titans run defense allowed nothing for them on the ground, and they had to go through the air, and it was just the more of the inconsistencies through the air. So yeah, not great all the way around. A couple nice plays, but other than that, it was just kind of a slog of a game, kind of, you know?
Yeah. I mean, small little things that can be taken away. Like, I think the ascending nature of Christian Watson, kind of like you touched on, that's a huge promising thing. 5 touchdowns in the last 2 games, which now he leads all rookie wide receivers in touchdowns. So, yeah, a little bit of a, you know, come about it a different way. But, you know, if he's coming on, when Dubs comes back, Samari Torre is like a good find. Like Quay Walker is stacking some good games in a row and like making some impactful plays. So it seems like that draft class, that's the kind of thing that I pulled, is like this draft class actually has been stacking up pretty well, and they're putting these kids in moments and giving them opportunities, and they're responding. So if anything, I think that's a good pull from what we've been seeing the last couple of games. Like obviously the Devontae Wyatt's not doing what you would want out of your first rounder, but give him some time. Like he's a defensive lineman. Like they don't normally hit right away. So, but yeah, that's kind of what I took away from that game, because there wasn't really much else to take away. So, all right, news and notes. Let's get into it. There's not a lot going around, but Dusty, we got to talk about it. In the most Packers move of all time, they brought in some guys for workouts, and I know you and I and Sarah have issue with this, but they did it. Geronimo Allison in for a workout. There's a couple more names. They brought in a couple other guys. Danny Davis. So that was 2 wide receivers they brought in. Tackles, they had Derek Kerstetter, Sam Schluter, and Sage Dockstader. And then center Chris Owen. So they worked out a couple of guys. We didn't hear anything if they signed anybody officially. So whatever. But I mean, it's the Packers, so you know at some level Geronimo Allison's going to be on the roster at some point, because that's the only thing that makes sense. We got guys who can't catch the ball on the team. So what should we do? Bring in another one. Yeah, it sounds like a great idea. But tell me, what do you think about it?
Yeah, someone, I think you had sent the tweet in the chat, was the first time I saw it, and it was like, it was from Mike Garofalo, and the first thing I did was like, I'm making sure that this is recent and that it's not a spoof account, because a lot of times I get got by a tweet from like 5 years ago, and you get mad, and you're like, oh, this is from 2017, this does not affect me. No, it was real, and it's current. Yeah, I mean, listen, realistically, they probably just need bodies, but what are we doing here, man? So the last time Geronimo Allison caught a pass was 2019 with the Packers. He played in 3 games with the Lions last year, in across 3 games, 2 targets, no catches. So last time we saw him on the field, 2019, he was basically best profiled as a possession receiver. He was dropping 12% of his passes as a possession receiver, and also doing jet sweeps for some reason, trying to get him in space. Oh, the old Richard Rodgers for some reason.
I forgot about that.
Steve, they gave him a jet sweep or like threw one to him off jet motion, and he couldn't slow down and he went out of bounds. He had an open touchdown and like he went out of bounds at the 6 because like he couldn't control his body to go back in. I mean, that's burned in my mind. As a he was averaging. I looked up these numbers because I don't like myself as a person. He averaged 5.2 yards per attempt the last time he was with the Packers. That'd be the lowest on the Packers right now by a full yard. That's Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. They're at like 6.2 and 6.4. Geronimo Allison, a possession receiver who can't catch. He was averaging less than that. His drop rate of 12% is only slightly below Christian Watson's drop rate of 18%. But at least Christian Watson does big things. Like, he's going to be 29 in January. He's not athletic. He's not dynamic. He's not fast. He can't separate. His best position is possession receiver, which again, you need hands for. You need hands for that. Like, I'm sure he's a very, very nice guy. For all accounts, a nice person. I don't see how he fits. Like, this team is like, what do they need? They need speed. So all they have is Christian Watson. Let's bring in Geronimo Nelson. And what about calling John Ross? Like just if you're taking a flyer on a guy, and maybe they did, and maybe he said, I'm not going up there. What about John Ross? I know Will Fuller is retired, soft retired or whatever. Didn't Rodgers have the whole thing about like guys are coming to Green Bay to play with me? Time to prove it, man. See if you can get Will Fuller up there. Like,
someone's coming to Green Bay. Nobody's coming to Green Bay to play with him.
No, they're not. That's the point. So maybe so that you get Geronimo Allison. Like, at the very least, if you're going to take a flyer on a guy, take a flyer on a guy with speed. Even someone like Danny Davis. So I looked at Geronimo Allison's RAS. Danny Davis does not have one. Geronimo Allison's RAS was 2.72. And that was like in 2017. He's not gotten better. He's not gotten more whatever since then. Like, Danny Davis, I don't mind, only because athletically I think he profiles close to Geronimo Allison, but he actually catches stuff. So that'd be fine. But at this point, and again, I'm getting all fired up. At this point, it's probably just for camp bodies. But if there's even a chance they're going to sniff the roster, either a young guy, someone like Osiris Mitchell, who's with the team in the preseason, that's just a big like box out, like a kind of a different type of receiver than they have already, or someone like John Ross, like someone who can run, like either a big bodied young guy or a speed guy that can take the top off and allow Christian Watson to do things other than run, go and post routes on 50% of the time. Do that. Geronimo Allison is like, again, maybe they just need bodies, but like, why that body? Hopefully he never sees the roster. So like, why is that even the conversation? Maybe they're doing him a solid and that's fine, but I don't ever want to see him in Green Bay on the field again. Again, nice man. If he wants to go and see a game, I'll have a beer with him. That's great. I don't want to see him catching passes again, trying to catch passes again, I guess.
It's so much fun when somebody else has a rant instead of me. And I knew this was going to be it. That was the thing that I sent to you and Sarah in the DMs. I'm like, ooh, it's time for a Dusty rant. I love it.
Oh my gosh.
Can't wait for it. But oh my God.
So much pent up Geronimo Allison rage from like his, like the first year he was in the league. Like, you guys don't see he's dropping passes.
That was pretty funny. I remember I was like, I thought he was kind of decent for a little bit there. And then you're like, no, all he does is drop passes. And Sarah and I are like, no, that's not right. He catches the ball. And then you start watching, you're like,
it's again. Like double digit drop percentage in like every single one of his years for a guy who runs like a 4.8. Like, it's not great.
You gotta get that guy some stick 'em, man.
It should be allowed. If you're a wide receiver and you run like a 4.8, you're allowed to use stick 'em. That should be the
like
rule.
a whole gallon sized jug of it or something. Just dip the hands in and
just on your jersey. Like, go back to the old 70s stuff. Like, just jerseys like
in the replacements. Didn't they do that with that guy? Like, his hands were just like dripping with stick 'em. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are they gonna do? Kick you out? All right, so yes, that was the most Packers move possible that they did, bringing him back for a tryout. So the only other thing we could really find, neither of us actually had time for Pat McAfee today, and with Sarah not on the podcast, she's normally our person that covers that. So I mean I saw quotes flying around Twitter and stuff, I'm sure you did too. So if today we don't have time to do the recap, or we weren't able to do that for you, so make sure you just tune in on Twitter and get some of that info. But the only other thing we saw was that the Eagles are going to be wearing their blackout jerseys this coming game with the Packers. So it'll be – those are interesting. I mean, to me, those are some badass jerseys. Like, I think
they look really cool, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, that kind of leads us into the game, man. We're going to talk about Packers-Eagles, the one thing we're looking for on offense versus the Eagles' defense. Eagles coming off a win where they just barely squeaked by the Colts. Not really sure what the Colts were doing at the end of that game, just letting Jalen Hurts just literally walk into the end zone. It was an interesting play call from their defense, like not having a spy on him. But they're playing some good football, man. They're a really good team. They've got great weapons. They just added, I believe, Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
So obviously the Packers' favorite player in the world. Hopefully he doesn't try to step on anybody this game. But so they're beefing up that run defense. Their run defense was one of the things that wasn't great, so they're trying to beef that up and address it. But Dusty, talk to us. What's something that people can look for in this game?
Yeah, some of it for me, it comes down to rush game. And we only have one game of data so far on Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. And it seemed like what they're susceptible to from what I saw, and granted, it's only one game, polars and inside zone. Excuse me. If you run right at them, it seems like you can open some holes. But even then, they were putting a bunch of bodies in the box to kind of get rid of that later on, that they kind of bottled that up. But they're getting good push in the middle in a way they weren't earlier. I mean, going into that game, they were 26th rush defense in DVOA, and the Packers were the seventh best rushing offense. So it's like you can see the path forward there. The past four games, the Eagles were 31st ranked rush defense. But then you look at this past game, and it's against the Colts, who want to run. And granted, they've not been great this year in terms of offensive line and getting push and all that stuff. But I think the first drive, they looked pretty bad. And they were just giving up. Jonathan Taylor was just getting whatever he wanted. And after that, he wasn't really. So it would be interesting, again, because we don't have a whole lot of data on what they look like with Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh and how many snaps they're going to get and all of that. But they definitely are stouter up the middle. And so I wouldn't be shocked to see, again, they were not great against inside zone all year. And then last week, they kind of buttoned that up. So I would see a lot of pullers in the run game, a lot of kind of some of that power stuff, the counter pullers, pull guard, pull the center. They like to pull Josh Myers a lot. So we'll do some of that. And then also some wide zone. They've been susceptible to wide zone. Some of the cutback stuff, they didn't seem like they were overly disciplined on. Colts did not test them too much on that last week. And that's not something the Packers have done a whole lot this year, honestly. But I think they will likely have to turn to that. So a little more of if they're stout up the middle, like they looked this past week, they hadn't looked like that, you know, early in the year, likely more of a horizontal running game as opposed to kind of that at you, smash you in the mouth, go right up the middle running game. So maybe, you know, maybe some chances to get Aaron Jones out on the edge there. We'll say, so I was looking at, I guess the last thing here, looking at how the Eagles did against some like pulling guards and some of that power stuff, they're giving up 5.5 yards per attempt on the season. And the Packers are gaining 6.2 yards per attempt on the season. The Packers are running that more this year than they ever have. So if they want to get that horizontal, get a puller into the mix, some of that wind back stuff with DeGuara kind of half motioning, then coming back across and kicking someone out, I think they can find success there just because you're not running in the middle against that stout middle now. So maybe you're mixing it up based on maybe how you thought you were going to attack last week, but I still think they can find some success there. So that's kind of what I'd be looking for in this game.
Beer? In the water section? You've piqued my interest, Liquid Death. Okay, so it's not actually beer, it's mountain spring water from the Alps, but it sure as heck looks like a beer when you first see it. And it should pique your interest too, because Liquid Death is the incredible new product that looks like a can of beer, but is actually water that comes in sparkling still and three delicious flavors. We've been downing can after can of Liquid Death at my house, and everyone's always interested. What are you drinking? What is that? Did Xavier just drink a beer? It's been downright fantastic. And best of all, the water is actually incredible. Listen, I am not a water guy, and sparkling water never really did it for me, but even I can't get enough of the lime Liquid Death, which we have been going through like crazy. So it's fun, it's delicious, and it's actually better for the environment because you aren't adding more plastic bottles to your local landfills. I love the tall boys of Liquid Death, and I know you're going to as well. If you haven't checked them out yet, you should probably fix that right now and get to a store immediately. You can find Liquid Death at your local Woodman's, 7-Eleven, Roundy's, or Hy-Vee, or find a Liquid Death retailer near you with their store locator tool at liquiddeath.com/packaday. That's liquiddeath.com/packaday.
Yeah, man, I got nothing. I legit have no idea what to look for at this point. Like, I feel like the season's lost already. So, Jordan Love, maybe? How about that? What's Jordan Love? Ha! I got you.
Yeah, I was going to try to hold it together, and I couldn't.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, like, I think kind of what I touched on about the Titans game of kind of seeing where some of these rookies can continue to grow. Like, watch if Christian Watson is able to do a little bit more than just catch touchdowns. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you want him to catch touchdowns. That's a great thing. But is his game growing? Like, is he becoming a more complete wide receiver? Like, he's always got the speed, but is he consistently catching the ball and making the right reads and breaking off routes when he's supposed to? Is Quay Walker continuing, like, you know, with Devondre Campbell being out, is he continually, you know, leading this defense? I mean, he's the one who's got the green dot and making the calls for the defense now. And if that's something you see in him, like, that's a really good thing for him to be able to learn that and really become that that voice of the defense, because right now it seems like they're kind of lacking in that area. So if anything, I think that's kind of a takeaway, and, you know, some look at some of the pieces that, that are going to be around next year. So that's kind of what I think I will be looking for. I am glad I was able to make you snicker, because I wasn't sure that I was telling Dusty beforehand, like half the jokes that I say to him and Sarah never actually land with them. It's like crickets, and they both look at me like I'm an idiot. So I was a little worried I wasn't going to get you. So
we know how we are. Sarah's not here, so I'm kinder to you. So I'm
that's true. It is true. Yes, when the three of us are together, then one person gets picked on normally. So and it's me a lot of the time.
Correct.
I'm okay with that. All right. So we did get some good questions on Twitter. Twitter is still up and running for everybody who was worried about, you know, the whole, if Twitter goes down, you can find me here. Like, no, it's still up and running. We're still good to go. So got some good ones. We're not going to be able to do all of them this week, but just want to hit a couple of the good ones. So first one was from Packer Backer. Going two questions. Who is the biggest culprit for this season's failure? And what is your favorite stadium food and why?
Cutting right to the heart of it. I wish there was a biggest culprit. It's a good question. Like there's not one culprit. And that's what makes so much of the stuff so bad, is like there's not one culprit. Like Rodgers is not playing up to his normal self. And you can say that's his thumb. You can say, I don't think it's an age thing, but like it's probably his thumb. But he's not playing up to his normal standards. The line has not been nearly as good, and they've been getting a little better because they got some consistency there. But the offensive line was not doing well in pass pro, and also opening up any holes in the run game for a little bit there. They were struggling a little bit. Aaron Jones has been tremendous, but AJ Dillon looks like he's not quite as explosive and not quite as good as he had looked early on. The wide receivers have had issues, both because some of them are young and some of them are a little older, and none of them seem like they know where they're going. The defense, I mean, Savage has tanked off a cliff. There's been miscommunications that we didn't have last year. Like that, you can go up and down. You can go front office. You can go coaching, whatever. Like, I don't know that there's one big culprit for this. You can see, contrary to popular belief, I mean, coaching staff is trying different stuff. I think they came into the year with a plan. It didn't work out for multiple reasons because their wide receivers didn't threaten anyone. And you can see them retooling, rekeying some of the stuff on the fly. And I think they're doing a really good job. Like coaching staff, as far as like schematic wise, I think is doing a good job. But there's still all these weird little miscommunications. You can point at stuff there. I mean, there's just, it's up and down. I really don't think there's one biggest culprit. I know a lot of people want to say it's Rodgers. He's going outside the system, first of all, there's no, like, you don't have any proof of that. You can point to a handful of things, but there's not like proof that like he's the guy. I wish it was him, because then that's really easy, but there's not. It's just, there's a lot, not to say that the next couple of years are going to be dark and awful necessarily, because you can see some bright spots here, and you know, maybe next year they do have enough to make another run. And some of these young guys are coming around a little bit more, but this season, a lot of things have gone wrong, and that includes injuries. I mean, there's just the untimely injuries and different things like that. So it's just, it's been bad up and down. Very cheerful. Favorite stadium food and why? Man, I don't know. I'm going to Lambeau. I'm getting the brat because they're delicious. That's my favorite stadium food.
I'm going to channel my inner Ama and just be like, Joe Barry, get rid of him. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like you said, there's not one person that you can blame. Like, there's so many different factors that have gone in to making this season bad. I mean, yeah, I mean, you hit on so many of them, and there's a million more. There's a million more things that you could blame for it. I know a lot of people haven't liked Joe Barry from the get-go. Nobody thought he should have been the hire. They felt it was a panic move after Jim Leonard said no to them and how they kind of operated on that level. So I get that sense a lot. And we did get a bunch of questions about Joe Barry as well. Why isn't he fired? Why, you know? And I think the only thing to me I would say is, Dusty and I talked about, that's not the way the Packers operate. Like, they normally, like, Mike McCarthy was the exception, not the rule, and they let him go like a couple games left in the season. Like, it's just something you don't expect, and especially for a quote unquote friend of Matt LaFleur. Like, I really don't think that's going to way that it goes. And like they've said, LaFleur has said multiple times of they think it's the players. Like, it's the players not executing. They're trying, Dusty said, they're trying different things. They're trying to get them in places to succeed, and the players aren't executing right now. So I think they're going to give them every opportunity. I fully expect a change to be made in the offseason, but I'm not expecting that now to do that at all. So, and then favorite stadium food. You actually stole my answer. I was thinking about a brat with some mustard on it, and that'd be a little sauerkraut if they've got it there too. Like, that's the way to go for sure. Simple, easy, and yeah. Next question, Rolf. If taking, I can't even get through this question without laughing. If taking a QB in the first round fuels another spite-induced MVP seasons from 12, do you do it?
Loved it. Love it. Yes. Yes. It's still somewhat short-sighted, right? Because you're not thinking about the future. You're not like, this is the quarterback in 10 years. But if you say we can burn a first-round pick, which, listen, they spent 2 first-round picks this year, and their first one is barely getting on the field. If we burn a first-round pick and we're getting 2 MVP-level seasons from our guy and getting to the NFC Championship game in those two, like, you take your chances with that? Like, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. No, I'm just kidding. You do not take a quarterback with the first pick, especially if it's going to be in the top 10, man. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care if one of those kids falls to you, like one of the top 3 that they're looking at. By the way, we did get a draft question as well already. We got like, who's your favorite draft crush? And man, I forget who asked that question, but
Brian Maffey. Yeah.
I'm a draft. Like, I love like mock drafts. I love all that stuff. I'm not even there yet. So I felt that was just a hint premature for the draft.
Senior Bowl stuff's coming out, man. The draft guys are on it right now, man. Like, it's a wild time out there, Steve.
I believe it. I'm not there emotionally yet, Dusty. I'm not.
That's fair. More than fair. I'm not either.
Next question. This one is from Joe Scalora. If Jordan Love ran Matt LaFleur's scheme to a T with none of the improvisation nor preferred concepts of 12, do we have any sense as to whether the offense would be better than what has been on display for the season? I mean, I was going to tackle this one, but sure. I guess we'll let you cover this.
Yeah, I've seen this a lot. I've got feelings. I've got lots of feelings about this one. The idea, and there's going to be another one later that's also going to touch on this a little bit, but the idea that Rodgers is going rogue and all this stuff, I don't believe that's true. Like, he, first of all, any quarterback, and I can't remember if I talked about this here last week or not, like, any quarterback that's semi-established is going to be asked by his head coach and offensive coordinator, what plays do you like? And we're going to try to get those. And which plays do you not like? And we're going to scrap those. Like, every single quarterback, every single, like, say, established quarterback. Like, no one's asking Sam Darnold that, like, because who cares? But any established quarterback is being asked that because you want your quarterback to be comfortable. That's not a control thing. Like, Mahomes has that. Josh Allen has that. Trevor Lawrence probably has that to some degree. You've got stuff you nix because you're the starting quarterback and that's what you do. And when you've been in the league as long as Rodgers and you've seen the stuff he has, yeah, he probably does that a little more than some other guys do. But that's kind of the name of the game. When you have a quarterback, you don't necessarily tailor to it, but you don't say, I know you hate this, but we're going to make you run anyway, because it's probably not going to go well. He probably hates it for a reason. So some of the concepts we're seeing, there's stuff that Rodgers prefers, I think is more kind of goes into how they're being played this year more than anything. They're seeing a lot of single high. And when you're getting attacked by a lot of single high, you kind of revert back to a lot of those things that we saw with Devontae Adams, a lot of those slot fades, the man beater stuff. Like, you don't necessarily like it, but that's what works against single high. But it's not working. And the reason it's not working, and this is where the love of it all comes into question, guys, you talked about it earlier, Steve, guys aren't executing. Like, not all the time. It's not saying like every single play is a failure, but there was I've been doing a lot of video stuff, but Kurt Warner had one a couple weeks ago that just pointed out, like, look at this. Why is this guy running this route like this? He should not be doing this. Littered with that. And I think it's been cleaned up a little over the past couple weeks, but you're still seeing that stuff. Like, if you throw Love out there and we're going to get a good look at Love and we're going to run what we're going to run. First of all, I think they're running roughly the same stuff anyway. And if you're looking at preferred quarterback stuff anyway, Love comes from an air raid, spread it out Utah State. That's what he's going to prefer. So a lot of that spread shotgun stuff, guess who also is going to like that? It's going to be Jordan Love. So we'll say, let's say for the sake of argument, he steps in there and whatever LaFleur says goes. You're under center, you're play action, you're doing all that stuff. First of all, a lot of that play action stuff they like to do, that doesn't work anymore because defenses know how to do that, and they're just destroying teams with it. But say you get Love in there, we're going to do exactly what you want to do, and that's perfectly fine. And Love comes in and says, whatever you say, coach, I'm going to do exactly what you say all the time. That's not going to stop wide receivers from running into each other or taking outside releases on inside routes or inside releases on outside routes. Like, that's not going to stop any of the mess. That's the thing. Like, I am of the opinion that with Rodgers, if his thumb is truly the issue, and it seems like it is, when they're like truly, like if they lose this week and they're truly, truly out of it, like they really don't have a hope of the playoffs, put him on IR, rest the thumb. It, like, you get an evaluation period with Love, but at the same time, you have to know that that's more process. It's not, you're not looking at what Love does. You're looking at process and how is he handling this stuff, because there's still the same mess at offense, whether or not you have Rodgers. The mess is not a Rodgers issue. Guys are running into each other, which we've seen less of. Guys falling down, like a lot. That's not stuff Rodgers. That stuff still happens with Love. So that, I think that's the bigger issue that's not quite being grasped or not being talked about as much. As you could put Love out there, he's still thrown to these same guys who are making all these mental mistakes. That doesn't fix that. So that was, what, 5 minutes? I apologize to everyone, but that's, I've seen that a lot, and it's not something that I necessarily agree with to the level that is out there right now.
I'm really glad we talked about all of that before the show started, and that was pretty much exactly what I said. So I was just really happy that you took that and were able to kind of just, you know, synthesize it and bring it
well,
down.
Well, no, I appreciate you left me your notes. Cause I just read it off a page. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's all about the team, man. It's all about the team and working together.
We build each other up.
Exactly. Exactly. Man, we miss Sarah. Like, this is too nice. This is really too nice.
I don't care for it. You know, I didn't like that.
That was a stupid answer, Dustin.
Thanks, Steve.
Brian Hart said once, to know each NFL season often is full of surprises. What about this year's Packers team surprised you from what you thought they would be? And food question, your favorite Thanksgiving pie, pecan, pumpkin, or other? So I think I'll answer this one. If you have anything to add, feel free. I think Dusty and I are actually on the same page because we answered this one together. And what surprised us the most, or surprised me the most, is that the Packers suck. That's what surprised me the most. We all thought they were going to be good. Remember that when they were 2-1 or 3-1, we're like, hey, look at this schedule. They could be like 7-1 by the time they get 8-1 by the time they get to the Eagles, man. Like, they could be really good. And then it just all went to hell. All went to hell in a handbasket real fast. So I think that was the biggest surprise for both of us. And then my favorite pie, pumpkin pie. I know it's not everybody's favorite in the world, but Thanksgiving, like some whipped cream on top, like, yep, I'm going to eat the hell out of that. So looking forward to that on Thursday.
Yeah, I could also go with the derby pie. I think that's more derby time in Kentucky, but my mom always makes it for Thanksgiving. It's like a chocolate pecan, just loaded with sugar pie. Absolutely love it. But yeah, pumpkin pie. I eat way too much pumpkin pie, but still also not enough pumpkin pie during Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've actually never heard of a derby pie, so, you know, sometimes we'll get around to it. All right, this will be the last question we've got here. So, shockingly, it's another one for Dusty. But Jay wants to know, why does it seem like there has been a lack of scheming people open in the pass game compared to the previous Matt LaFleur years? Seems like less motion and more shotgun.
All right, so I'm not going to repeat myself from all the stuff I just said, but all of the stuff about scheming people open, that still stands from the previous point about guys not quite running stuff correctly. But I did pull numbers for the other stuff because the shotgun emotion stuff is something I've seen arguments for, against, anything like that. They're not running shotgun and motion nearly as much. So far on the year, this year, they're running shotgun 73% of the time. These are rough numbers. I kind of had to back into them from some Pro Football Reference stuff. 73% of the time running shotgun. Not only is that the highest in the LaFleur era, that's the highest. I went back to 2011. That's the highest shotgun percent in that time frame from 2011 to 2022. That's the highest rate. The next highest rate I could find was a very abbreviated, we'll say 2016, 68% in 2016. In the LaFleur era, he's been shotgun 61, 58, 61, and now 73. So it's like that thing. This is not even a going back to like McCarthy era. This is just something new. And some of that I think is, some of that's due to the thumb. Now they were still high before that. He was still in the 70s before that, I think 60% against the Bears, 70s. And then he was in the 80s and 90s in those two games following the broken thumb when he really didn't feel comfortable. The fun thing that I want to bring up. So again, like, I don't know what's going on, but this is not like reverting to McCarthy. Like, Rodgers has never been in shotgun as much as he's been in shotgun this year. And I do think part of that's the thumb. The other thing is, as against the Cowboys, they were in shotgun like 48% of the time, something like that. And it was, well, this is what they're going to be now. And then if you look at the Titans numbers, they were in shotgun 70 plus percent of the time. This is something I had a tweet thread about that. And so it's, well, they reverted back to the shotgun stuff. Well, for three quarters, they were in shotgun for 65% of the time, which is the Flora era level stuff. It just wasn't working. And then they were kind of down by 10 and they went back into shotgun. But it seemed like the approach might be getting back to that kind of in the 60% of under center or shotgun stuff, but it just, it, the numbers are elevated against the Titans. But again, yeah, I mean, it's, this is not, as far as shotgun, I don't think this is like, well, he's going back to what he's done, 'cause he's never done this before. I think part of it's a thumb. And the other one is motion. I looked at motion in the LaFleur era. 29, this is motion percent, pre-snap motion percent in the LaFleur era. 2019, 42%. 2020, 48%. 2021, 54%. 2022, 53.5%. Motion numbers are right in line with where they were last year and even elevated from earlier LaFleur era. So some of this, I think, is, I don't know exactly what it is. I think some of this is just due to they're not doing well. And so with the plays that you think of them not doing well, it was a static look in shotgun. I mean, the truth of the matter is shotgun is elevated, but the motion numbers are in line with where they've been. And so some of this is they're, again, they're changing stuff up. They're operating roughly the same way they have been before. Shotgun runs have actually been more effective than under center runs this year, even if the play action game necessarily hasn't been there. But motion, right in line where it's supposed to be. Shotgun elevated. Some of that's due to his thumb. Some of that's due to who knows what. But it's still, that pre-snap motion stuff is still there. Like, you just, it's easy to say it's not there when you see plays that don't work and say there wasn't motion there. But on the whole, they're motioning about the same as they have been.
All right, bud. That's all the questions we got this week. So we got, thank you guys as always for those questions. We really appreciate the interaction on Twitter because it really helps us like round out the show. We always have talked about it multiple times, but we really love trying to help answer the questions and of Packers fans and what you guys want to hear about. So always good stuff. And as much as I give Dusty crap, like I've said it many times, like I've learned so much just from being on this podcast with you, so I'm hoping that there's a bunch of people listening that feel the exact same way, and I'm pretty sure they do. So but yeah, if you guys want to follow us, make sure on Twitter, that's at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher 4, at Steve Perhatch, and as always at Packaday Podcast. But before we finish this up, bud, I know you just were talking for like 1200 minutes, but got some you got some closing thoughts for us, you know, articles, videos, whatever you got out.
Yeah, normal stuff I've been writing. So a little earlier than normal, the Pack Report one, I think, went on Monday, if not mistaken. So I looked at three plays on that one. I typically only look at one. I looked at two plays from a wide receiver screen out of a quads look, and then them trying to hit a shot out of that that did not work because, again, some of the details just weren't there to a point to hit it. But that was an interesting look. I always like trying to look at this stuff to set up a shot play. Even if it doesn't work, that stuff's always interesting. So that's on Packer Report. And then Cheesehead TV today, I've got a bunch of stuff about the passing game, a lot of that kind of the shotgun splits in the Tennessee game, as well as kind of where they were attacking and all of that stuff. And then also deep dives into a dagger kind the dagger concept and then mesh concept that they ran that I, anytime they run a mesh concept that looks is like fairly interesting, I get just very, very excited about. So that's up on Cheesehead TV. And then I got videos running around. I did one yesterday on the Rasul Douglas interception. That was a lot of fun. I got a couple requests for that and dug in, and he's not the most athletic guy, but man, I love watching Rasul Douglas, like just a very heady, intelligent player. So that was a fun one to look at.
Yeah, I don't have any big thing to say or promote, but, you know, I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday, spend some time with family, friends, whatever you're doing. Enjoy that, watch some football, eat some good food, do all that stuff. I do know that holidays can be stressful. It can be a difficult time for a lot of people. So make sure, you know, if you're struggling, whatever, check in with somebody. Dusty, Sarah, and I have always said, as always, our DMs are open if you need to talk or chat or whatever. And I know I've had multiple people do that, so I'm always here to listen, help whenever I can. But yeah, we thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week to talk even more Packer football. Hopefully Sarah will be joining us, because we all know it's more fun when all three of us are around. So thank you guys for listening, and as always, go Pack go.